Hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. My name is James Gilmore and I'm far too hot. Joining me is Peter Wellington.
I'm also hot.
He is also hot too. And how about Keith? Keith, cool, hot, tepid?
I'm only moderately good looking, I have to say.
Oh, moderate. So. All right then, that's good to know. We have to let you know these things because obviously this is an audio medium and you can't necessarily see how attractive Keith Andrew is.
I thought you meant in terms of warmth, because it's 31 degrees.
Fahrenheit?
Celsius.
Oi! Well, I'm down here
in Bournemouth. That's nothing. One of our American lot was telling us it was 40-odd over there.
What? How do they survive?
They have to do siestas like they do in Spain, where everyone just goes to sleep at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's just we're not used to it. We've not had this for a while.
So. No, we're just being British. I was tweeting about it earlier. It's like if we're British, it's too hot or cold or wet or dry or dark or light, depending on what's going on at that particular moment. But you should have seen it yesterday. Whew.
Oh, I want
it's
to
too
cry.
Dark. I don't remember people saying it's too dark.
We managed to find whatever like misery is there is inherent in any circumstance. That's what we do.
Well, the news has gone all a bit. Just like when it snows and we hear nothing else apart from how much it snowed.
Oh, it's a
we're now
blizzard.
Seeing endless news stories about how hot it is.
It's kind of rubbish. It's just sunny. It's nice, although I am stuck in a room. And if you hear birds tweeting outside and the sound of summertime frolicking, it's because I've got all my windows open, which is very unprofessional of a podcaster. But it's too hot, and otherwise I'm just going to sit here and sweat balls the whole time.
Yeah.
So you'll be joined by birds as well, as Peter and Keith.
Joined by birds!
You got any dropping by on the way with bringing you ice pops and that?
I've got a couple of birds coming over.
Nice, mate. Sound safe, yeah? You're going to just like, yeah, ew.
It's got a bit Dick Van Dyke. That's not slang.
I love Mary Poppins. Okay, what have we got this week? Oh, my word. In the news, it's been quite newsy. Very newsy, in fact. The news has been full of news. News like Angry Birds Star Wars 2 is going a bit Skylanders. How Skylanders? You'll find out. Traveller's Tales is doing something with a Lego game. Not unsurprising in itself, but it's a particular kind of Lego game. And Browncoats Unite! There's a Firefly game in the works. Oh my god, let's do the updates first, though. First on the updates, let's make everybody really ill as quickly as possible.
What?
That's what you can do in Plague Inc. It's just been updated, and it's added a kind of speed mode, where the idea is to contaminate the entire world in as quick a time as humanly possible. There's also some extra content to do with the CDC, Center for Disease Control, in which it adds a new story arc to track down the first patient, Patient Zero, and then I assume smack him in the face. No, probably not that. But that's what I would, you know, if you find the guy who spreads the rage virus or whatever, then surely you go and you kick him in the nads.
That's no form of treatment. You can't get a job at a hospital. Just smack him in the face.
Talking about treatment, I'm talking about sweet, sweet vengeance. He's already wiped out half the population, so he needs a swift knee to the jewels.
Yeah, that'll stop him.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's how you do it. So Plague Inc. Updated there. Also, what's the other one? Oh, yeah, Emanji. Emanji has added 3 new characters to Temple Run 2. Well, I say new. They're actually old characters from the first game, which to me sounds like a bit of a swizz.
Which classic characters?
I know. Such memorable characters as Mr. Zack Wonder. Indiana Jones-alike person called Montana Smith.
Mm-hmm.
These names are pretty good. This is almost as good as America Jones. This is a good one. And I'm going to pronounce it in the way I assume it has to be pronounced. Conquistador Francisco Montoya.
Have you read my fanfic for all of those characters? They're such memorable characters.
Are they rich and layered characters?
Layered. They're engaging. They are.
Are they just the same character model with a slightly different skin, different coloured shoes?
Yeah.
Those names are about as memorable as Swampy the Alligator, I'd say.
You pretty remembered him though, didn't you?
I will never forget him because he's rubbish.
just because the first letter of his name isn't the same as the first letter of his animal type. That's pretty much the only reason you have contempt.
That's how the world works.
All right, then.
That's why I'm
Keith
called...
the Human. Sure, not Harry. No, Keith the Human. You're rubbish, Keith. I've forgotten you already. Anyway, Eidos Montreal, whatever they call it. I thought this was quite cute, actually. When they released Deus Ex The Fall, which I was talking about last week, and it's kind of all right apart from the controls, which are a bit iffy, someone posted on Twitter they had found a slight problem with it. If you've got a jailbroken iOS device, and if you have, naughty. But if you do, you can download the game, you can boot it up, you can run it, you can play it. The moment you go to shoot someone, a little message pops up that says, "We're sorry, but you can't fire on jailbroken devices."
Now, that is very assumptive, isn't it? Of Squeenix. I mean, there are plenty of reasons to jailbreak an iPhone. For legitimate reasons.
Is it not legitimate, though? You invalidate your warranty and you're technically not allowed, no?
For legitimate reasons.
What legitimate reasons? You keep saying legitimate. You have to back it up with something.
Legitimate reasons like not wanting to use the App Store to run
anyway, you can now run it on jailbroken devices. They've removed their anti-jailbreak restriction.
Why have they done this?
I assume because people complained about it.
Because it's a headline.
I think that's rather ingenious.
I thought it was cute. I thought it was really funny. It's like to let you download the game and everything and then get it and pops up. And the only thing it doesn't have a little kind of like winky face smiley or something, which I thought would have been funny.
Was there general outrage about this amongst even people who haven't jailbroken their iPhones? Why have they been forced to do this? I can't understand why they would change their mind.
I thought it was just funny. But I mean, in some ways, I suppose they are counting out a chunk of the market who would be paying for it, I guess. You know, that's probably the only reason. You might get slightly more money from it. I thought it was kind of funny, but I agree. They probably assumed that it was going to happen, and then maybe they'd just remove it. It could well be a kind of shrewd marketing type ploy.
I think it is. I mean, I think Square Enix see the stuff like Batman Arkham Asylum's infamous cape problem, whereby you can't open your cape and float down in that PlayStation 3 game if you hacked it or something like that, the PC version or something like that. Like there's and they always pick up traction. They always get picked up by the blog sites and by us because it's cool. It's good. It's an interesting way to get around scumbags who aren't prepared to pay for their games, basically. Legitimate.
I don't know how the tech is involved, but obviously the game can tell that you're running it on a jailbroken device, even if you've downloaded it from the App Store. So surely if Apple wanted to, they could quite easily block your access to the App Store. I mean, if it's that easy to tell that you're on a jailbroken device, then you wonder why they haven't taken that step of saying, right, okay, you can't, you know, they could block access to all kinds of things.
Well, I suppose the counter-argument to that is Square Enix has to lose a fair amount of money from somebody pirating their specific game, and Apple doesn't really have any money to lose because if that jailbroken device uses the App Store to actually purchase something, they still get a cut of it. So whole bunch of stuff getting pirated, then...
I just remember in the early days when kind of jailbreaking seemed to be, you know, even before the App Store had come along and people were jailbreaking to get apps, that Apple took a very dim view of it and were kind of, you know, rarely actually spoke about, you know, they must be bothered if they speak out about something because they usually say bugger all else. But they spoke. So it makes you wonder why if they don't like jailbreaking that much, why they've never taken steps to. I mean, because it's daft. You know, I always remember how people used to download naughty copies of Windows, and you could still get, you know...
Naughty copies? Do they have sexy icons and stuff?
yeah.
When you clicked on something, it went...
You could still... No, that was just me. You could still get the Windows updates and stuff, and because you were feeding... If there was a virus going around, obviously the more computers they get information from, the better they can then equip... to deal with it. So it was always a kind of actually, yes, they know a portion of their audience hasn't bought Windows, but they're not going to completely block them out because it actually helps their business in the long term.
Yeah.
So you wonder whether that's, you know, not that same reason, but you wonder whether Apple's thinking, well, you know, because but they, openly they always say, you know, it's a bad thing to do, you shouldn't do it.
I think they're obliged to. I think they feel like they have to put on the face of, no, this is very, very naughty, but secretly they're like, yeah, carry on.
You know, some people will tell you that the App Store probably wouldn't be here if the jailbroken equivalents hadn't come along first and shown that there was a market for it.
Yeah, well, all those nasty, legitimate jailbreakers, legitimately nasty jailbreakers, I don't know. If you've got a jailbroken device, you can play it Deus Ex the Fall now. So
we should make it so you can't listen to the podcast, or it's all in Swedish or something, you know.
It translates Swedish on the fly. That would be awesome.
You
could
do that
like
in the evening, can't you? You can write a program that does that. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can only do the thing that you see that guy in the Muppets do, where they do a kind of naughty.
He's the best.
That's it.
Or you can make it so that they only hear me. You know, they don't hear you and Pete.
I only have ears for you, Keith.
Yeah, it is it? Yeah. Okay.
The news. So Angry Birds Star Wars was quite popular.
Sold a few units, didn't it?
Sold a few units, yeah. So Rovio doing another one. And it's really confusing because Angry Birds Star Wars 2 is going to cover the 1, 2, and 3 episodes of the franchise. So Star Wars 2 is actually technically the second saga, which is
one
covering the prequel episodes before the original series of films, which was actually the last half of the Star Wars saga.
But it's not Empire Strikes Back.
We've already done that.
Okay, and it's not Clash of whatever his face is, Clash of Jedi's, or whatever the second one's called.
Clash of Jedi's?
Clash of Jedi's.
That one where Darth Vader fights a massive scorpion and uses the god. That's yes, right. No, it's not that.
It's not A New Hope, it's not Empire Strike Back, and it's not Return of the Jedi, it's the rubbish ones.
Yes, therefore, who gives a fuck? Angry Birds Star Wars 2 is coming out, and it's going to cover the episodes 1, 2, and 3, the prequel trilogies, which means I assume that you're going to have all those notable characters you love, like that slightly Jewish stereotype flying guy who works in a scrap yard. He's brilliant.
Jar Jar?
Who?
Jar Jar Binks?
I don't know what... I dimly remember some medical procedure I undertook to remove any relation to that character's name from my brain. Obviously, it wasn't completely successful because it did, you know, ring a slight bell, but
yeah.
Beyond that, I'm clueless. So I'm sure those films are really, really good, and then the acting is top-notch all round.
I like number 2 and 3. I think they're all right. I think the first one's okay.
Oh no!
You're being podcast ironic now, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I genuinely don't. If you go back and watch, go and watch Return of the Jedi.
No.
It is a pile of rubbish.
Return of the Jedi is equal to or
worse than Phantom.
No, it's not. Firstly,
Return of the Jedi is my favorite.
Is it really? It's not mine. Jedi is the weakest because the first like 40 minutes on Jabba's sail barge is great. The bit at the end with the fight is great. Then you got an hour in the middle of Han Solo hiding behind a tree, while some Muppets wander about going, Ichuta.
That's the good bit, the Muppets!
That's rubbish! Rubbish! They are rubbish.
Keith, you are wrong. You are wrong on this one.
But the original trilogy is crap. Anyway, we're getting slightly off topic here. So they're doing Angry Birds Star Wars 2. What's slightly more interesting about it is that they are going the Skylanders route with it.
Ooh.
Rovio have decided, they've had a look at that Skylanders franchise and that whole, we're going to buy physical toys and we're going to plug it into a little pod thing and it's going to zap into the game and kids are going to love it and they're going to pay like 50 times as much. It's amazing. What a swizz. So they've said, yeah, we're going to do that for Angry Birds Star Wars 2. So when it is released, you will be able to buy a little Angry Birds Star Wars characters and then you get to put them onto a little portal, which they're calling a telepod, because apparently they've watched The Fly. And you're going to put it on, and then you're going to stick it next to your iPad, your iPhone, or your Android device, or whatever, and it's going to go zoom, and zoom into the game. So that way, not only do you get money from people buying games, you get money from people buying lots and lots of plastic tat.
Yeah, like me.
Which is the future, apparently.
Yeah. I can't wait. I legitimately cannot wait to see these. I got slightly wrapped up in the Skylanders thing. I bought a few bits and pieces, not too many. And I had to go on Hero Clicks, I think it's called, Tab App. Did a review of it. It's basically like Superman and Batman, and they have a fight and things, but you can put them... They're not very good. But this one, this sounds great. I don't see how it's going to work... Like, I like the idea of having lots of toys. That's great. And putting them into my game. But I don't see how that's going to work in a mobile setting particularly well.
Well, you can... They already did it for the 3DS and stuff like that with Skylanders.
Yes, and I reviewed that. And that was one of my main criticisms.
It was a bit balls. Well, apparently, you can use the camera. So it doesn't have to be a physical portal. According to they've only released a bit of information about it, but you can use physical toys and the camera on your smartphone or tablet to transport the characters and power-ups into the game. So that would be a bit easier if you just point your camera at it and it scans a QR code or recognizes Chewie's little face or whatever, and then puts it in the game. Then I guess that'll be a little bit more manageable than hacking around a great big plastic portal with you everywhere you go. But it's just another way to sell more stuff. And it will sell loads. It just will sell loads because it's got Star Wars. So I totally sympathize with their reasoning behind doing it. I'm not particularly excited because the prequel trilogy is poor. And I'm not really a big hoarder of plastic things. Unless they do
something. You're more into rubber, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And PVC. But I'm not that into just the little plastic ornaments just sitting there.
I tell you though, I mean, all this stuff, considering now making new Star Wars movies, you just know where it's going to go with all this. It's going to be full of these for years to come.
Oh God, yes.
And confusingly, Angry Birds Star Wars 3 will actually be in reference to Star Wars 7.
Probably, so. Yes. And the two spin-off movies with Yoda and Boba Fett and all that.
Here's the question though: how long until Nintendo starts doing this stuff?
Well, Nintendo.
I suppose they haven't actually.
Or the physical toy malarkey.
Yeah, because they built all of that. They built all of those connectors into the Wii U. It's essentially the Wii U controller. Essentially, has I think it's called SFC.
Okay.
It's basically like. You could theoretically very easily create a Skylanders pad without actually having to have a Skylanders pad. You could just put them onto the Wii U controller itself. How long until I get an Animal Crossing set? Like, how long?
That just reminds me of, I remember when Microsoft originally showed off Kinect and you were meant to be able to scan in anything and it would become a controller. That never happened, did it?
Oh, yeah, that totally didn't happen.
Here's my skateboard. Turn it into my controller.
Rad. Tony Hawk's games will be amazing from now on. Oh.
And then everyone went, well, no, because if you do that, people will start buying those stupid skateboard accessory things or whatever you can get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they took off in a big bad way, didn't they? Mm. As well as new toys for the mobile versions and a new Star Wars mobile game, Rovio are also slinging Angry Birds Star Wars onto PS Vita and Nintendo 3DS in November. I think it's coming to everything, like Xbox and PS3 and just everything, all platforms.
What's a PS Vita and a 3DS? Not...
I don't know about mobile games. I'm still playing Drafts. King me.
That's the first thing you think of.
That's the first board game I thought of. I don't know why. Limited imagination, I suppose. Did anyone buy a physical copy of Angry Birds? Because they did release it. You can get it on like...
like £30.
Yeah, £30 for Angry Birds as opposed to 69p.
I reviewed the 3DS version, in fact.
Yeah, and?
And that is Angry Birds on the 3DS for a lot more money.
Is that £25, £30?
I think it was £25 when it came out initially. You got...
It's all three. It's the first three, isn't it?
It was the first three, but at this point, Star Wars was out.
£2.40 then.
It's not... The problem with it is, like, the value proposition... Like, if that was £3 and it was downloadable on the eShop... And,
fair enough, yeah.
Like, I could just about understand that. Like, but to make a physical product...
No, maybe it's...
It did have nice box art, though.
And that's what matters.
Yep.
Well, you'll be able to get it on 3DS and Vita in November. You'll also be able to get Angry Birds Star Wars 2 in September on your mobile devices, so hooray for that. Moving on from one set of toys to another set of toys, Traveller's Tales, the guys behind the LEGO games, all the LEGO games, they're making another LEGO game. But this one is slightly different. Rather than it being a video game tie-in to either the DC universe or something like Batman, or Star Wars for the Star Wars movies, or Indy Jones for those movies, Traveller's Tales are doing a movie tie-in Lego game for the upcoming Lego movie.
Right.
Which I wasn't actually aware of until I saw this story and then looked at the teaser trailer. And I was all... They've done a movie which is featuring Lego characters and has Lego in it and looks stop-frame animated.
Right.
Which I instinctively looked at and went, oh, for God's sake, that looks awful. The trailer's quite good. It's been directed by the guy who did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, who is quite a good director. And it's got Morgan Freeman and various other kind of A-list celebrities. And it looks to be done fairly tongue-in-cheek. It's obviously heavily aimed at kids, but it looks stop-frame animation. And it's kind of got all characters in it from all the things they've ever done. So it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and God characters and superheroes and kind of everything that Lego's ever been.
Sounds good. So what's the game about then? Like, I'm assuming exactly the same thing all the other games?
I guess it's going to be just a massively mad mashup. So apparently you play as some geezer called Emmett, who's trying to save the world, Natch, and you need to find the blueprints left behind by the master builders to create a virtual Lego contraption that will aid you in your quest. So it's going to be about building things, unsurprisingly.
Right. Well, okay. So first of all, we can immediately rule out the fact that there will be absolutely no licenses in this product outside of Lego itself. So you're not going to be able to play as the Lord of the Rings characters and the Star Wars characters, because that licensing deal would be a nightmare.
I've seen the trailer, and they've got Teenage Mutant Turtles in it, and they've got Batman, and they do have all that stuff.
Film rights is very, very different to doing it within video games.
Well, they say 90 characters you're going to get. So
yeah.
It's not going to be 90 random Lego dudes, isn't it? It's going to be...
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I'm just saying, like, you're not going to be able to have, like, Jar Jar Binks go up against the Turtles, are you? You know.
Well, I don't know. I reckon they're going to be able to chuck some characters in here. If it's going to be based on the movie, they've got to be able to get... And they've already got the rights for...
No, that's not true.
All the DC characters and all that stuff.
That's not true, because, again, I keep talking about games I've reviewed. I reviewed Wreck-It Ralph for the 3DS.
Oh, yeah.
And that had literally just Wreck-It Ralph and his little small mate. Like there were, and like that was the entire appeal of that movie. Like, and they couldn't do it for that. Like, and this is Activision.
Yeah, but Disney hasn't made games before featuring the Mario Brothers and Koopa and Pac-Man, have they? Because they don't own that. Whereas Traveller's Tales have already made games featuring Batman and Superman and all these other characters that they're going to use in the movie. So presumably they have some kind of perpetuity thing where they can use these characters because they've already done it, haven't they?
I don't know. I would be extremely surprised, but I'm very excited. If they do, I'll be very excited.
If it can't be 90 anonymous Lego characters.
It will be. Of course it will be. It'll be Little Spaceman. It'll be Firefighter.
They will have those as well, but there's going to be some actual folks in it. Sure.
I would have thought if they already have the license to make those Lego games with those in them, that they'll all be in them.
Yeah.
£5. Says that they're not in it. There you go. And we'll return to this.
Who's some... they?
Basically, any licensed characters. Or
any
the majority
licensed character
of, like,
at all.
So the majority of Lego licensed characters. So, like, Legends of Chima doesn't count, but, like, Star Wars and Lego the Rings? Lord of the Rings. They won't be in it. There you go. £5.
You'll have 15 levels, 90 characters who may or may not be famous or noteworthy, but clearly they will. There's no release date yet, but it hopefully could be quite good, because generally these games are all right. They do pretty well with it. And
is it going to be called Lego?
Lego the movie featuring Lego. From plasticky things to cancelled TV series. I'm a big Joss Whedon supporter, actually, and have been since Buffy, but I've only done like one or two episodes of Firefly, but it has a very, very hardcore following.
Yes.
Do we have any? Are you a brown coat, Peter?
I'm not a brown coat, but I really like Firefly. Yeah, the series is really good.
I do need to sit down and do it. They've been trying to petition to get the thing, you know, relaunched and make another series. And he did manage to wrangle Serenity, which is the movie which sort of tied everything up a bit. But one of the rumors that's been floating around for a while is that they're going to make a game out of it. And this would be a way to extend the universe and carry on the story. Well, it looks like over at the San Diego Comic-Con, they have just announced that very game. It's being turned into a social RPG for Android and iOS devices, which sounds to me like free to play.
What's the reaction been like? Because I would imagine that's an audience that would think that iOS and Android games aren't real games.
Oh, well, Firefly?
I don't know. Now,
it's a very broad spectrum.
I'm sure Comic-Con would be very forgiving of any kind of game-loving thing. They're all gamers and comic book lovers and all that stuff. I'm sure the fact that it was a Firefly, anything with Firefly, they're just like, you know, clawing to get some more of that universe. So, frankly, if they released a set of Firefly stamps that you could put on letters,
well, did they do a comic series at one point?
Probably Joss usually puts like comic series out. So yeah, quite possibly. I think they did quite well. Apparently you get cast as a ship's captain, and obviously you have to go out, make money and hire crew and take jobs and try not to get shot and all of that stuff. There's not really very much info at this point, just the fact they flash it up, and there is a trailer on this site. So go and look at it, Firefly Online, it's called. Apparently it's out summer 2014, so we expect more to come in the future. You know Oculus Rift?
That virtual reality thing.
That virtual reality thing that they've been working on that's coming out very soon, and should be one of the first sensible and affordable ways to do VR goggles for mass production. Edge published an article today saying that they're obviously trying to, you know, ready it for launch and everything. And people have been asking, you know, so it's obviously coming to PCs. That's what it's been designed for and on. How about consoles? And the guys making it have gone, no, we're not really focusing on consoles so much. But we are looking at next-gen cell phones.
Makes sense.
Cell phones?
Yeah, I know, cell phones. It's cute, isn't it?
I'd love a cell phone.
Mobile phones over here. Or, in Germany, Mein Handy.
Is that what they're called?
They're called Handys.
Handies,
which I love. So it's so cute, isn't it? I saw that on a QI or something. It's Steven.
I saw some people on the street selling handies once.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a. They
were the cheapest of the models they had.
I'm not going to ask what they went up to. So yeah,
a German handy.
It's so cute because they get to go voiced mine handy when they lose it, and that's really sweet. So rather than
focusing on people's phones,
this is a terrible cul-de-sac we've gone down.
So you hear them say that?
Yeah, voice man handy.
Voice man handy.
So apparently consoles of no interest to the Oculus people. Apparently a bit of a dead end there. Instead, next gen cell phones, handies, are the way forward. Their argument is because the mobile phones are progressing so quickly, the technology is advancing so fast, essentially every time a new phone comes out, it's doubling and doubling and doubling, because we're in that early stage where tech does that, and eventually it sort of peters off. They look at that and say, well, there's lots of potential there, and in 10 years, you're going to be able to do all this mad, crazy stuff in mobile phones, because they're basically just, you know, portable powerhouse computers. Whereas they look at consoles and say, well, we were stuck with the same console for the last 8 years. So for them, the mobile phone market is far more interesting to them.
The thing is, though, if you plugged this into your mobile and you went out, you'd get robbed because you got a big...
I know. Well, the main fear about Oculus Rift for me is I've seen it, and it's basically, you know, you're just putting this gigantic goggle thing over your eyeballs, so obviously you can't see anything. And as soon as you sit down, right, and put your Oculus Rift on and start playing, then everyone in your flat is just going to come in and just like take everything out of your room and just like spray stuff everywhere and spray paint the walls and just, oh man, anything can happen to you when you're playing Oculus Rift.
I think it's a far better fit for consoles, but I think that what Oculus Rift, I mean, they had it at develop and I didn't go on it because everyone I knew who did came out and, well, everyone said it made them feel sick very quickly. So I thought, I don't really want to be doing that in this heat. So I didn't. And yeah, there were people playing it and they were sat in beanbags and you could have gone up and you could have done anything to those people and they wouldn't have been able to react in time. I think a bit like Ouya, Ouya and GameStick and all these things that I can see them getting bought by Sony or someone and being employed in some way in a console in the future. I know press is going nuts over it at the moment. Edge in particular love this, but I don't think it's something you'd ever. I mean, you might use it on your tablet, but it's one of those things that when you use it, it stops the device you're plugging it into being portable. So unless they make some Google Glass way of it being able to disappear and appear, you know, you'd be able to see the real world at the same time or whatever, so you don't get mugged. Plus, well, yeah, how you, but, you know, you're not putting it in your pocket, and let's see.
But I don't think that's the use case scenario, is it, for this? I mean,
but
like,
they say you plug it into your mobile and stay in your house with it.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah. Yeah, but the only reason they're saying that is because consoles are, you know, walled gardens, as it were. They would have to go to Microsoft or Sony or Nintendo and then obviously give them a cut of whatever, you know, they did. If they did an official Oculus Rift for the consoles, then, you know, the console makers would want a good chunk of the revenue.
But it's the individual games that support the Oculus, and to plug it in requires an HDMI cable. So, I mean, like, theoretically, you could do it on a PlayStation 3.
Well, you couldn't, because the OS wouldn't recognise it. You know, it wouldn't.
No, but it's not an OS level thing. It's an HDMI. It's a dumb screen essentially with a little bit of extra stuff for head tracking. Like, and you can get a game to support that individually. Like, you could do it on a PlayStation 3 right now. Like,
so you mean literally replace the TV screen so that the PS3 thinks it's outputting the TV?
Yeah. So you could do it on that. But like, I completely get your point. Like, if they're going for like the mobile market, then there needs to be an actual description as to why that is a useful thing. Like,
well, this is what they say. The quote is, "I think a lot will come from the social and emotional side that nobody has seen yet. Like, within the games, you'll know where the player's eyes are. The character can look at you and say, 'Hey, what's up?' And if you look away, they'll be like, 'Hey, what's going on?'"
This all sounds a bit Peter Molyneux to me.
It's quite funny. This is what he would say.
The tech press are getting very excited about it, but, you know, they get excited about anything at the moment.
Well, it's very hot.
So essentially, you know, I'm saying it and everything like it is going to fail horribly, and we should all just start ignoring it. That's my view.
I want one.
Out and about on iOS this week, we have the arrival of Robert Bowling's Breach and Clear, which is his tactical turn-based kick a door in and run into a room with a gun, throw a smoke grenade, shoot some bullets, and then shout, "Clear!"
I'm up.
Yeah, that's what happens in these games. So it's like, this is Robert Bowling of Call of Duty fame. And it was originally going to be a free-to-play game, and then they did it for a bit and went, actually, this free-to-play stuff is really getting in the way of the game that we want to make, so we're ditching it. So now it's going to cost you £1.49, or $1.99, but it isn't going to constantly flash up stuff for you to buy. So that's either a good thing or a bad thing, depending on your point of view.
We had an interview with him this week about that, why he decided to change his mind. It's quite embarrassing, if only because he was so vocal about doing it free to play.
Yeah.
They announced it, and you know, we had an interview with him back then as well. And back then he was like, "Yeah, no, this is a challenge. I'm not really very keen on it, but we're gonna make it. We're gonna do it. It's gonna work." And now he's like, "No, it's not gonna work. We'd have to do a completely different game if we wanted that to work." And in a kind of backtracky, "I don't hate free to play, honest, but it, you know, I don't want to make a free to play game" kind of way.
The game they have made apparently contains a good deal of micromanagement. So you're controlling a small squad, maybe four or five guys, and you have to plan in a turn based way where they're gonna move, bust into the room, and then neutralize everybody in the room. Then when you get back to base, you upgrade your soldiers, you buy gear, purchase guns, all that sort of stuff. Mark's had a go. Apparently it's quite fun. Short and satisfying little strategy bursts, which seem well suited to mobile, which is always the key, I think.
That's a better name, short little strategy bursts.
Strategy bursts. You can't like, kick a door in, run in, lob a smoke grenade and shout, "Short strategy bursts!" It's not the same.
You can.
That's not intimidating. If anyone's alive, they'll just pop up and laugh at you and then shoot you in the face.
Short little strategy burst.
That's
just add that in.
Okay, that's necessary. Well, you can enjoy those bursts, short and little as they are. Right now, Breach and Clear, $1.49 or $1.99. Looking back into the past, you can get another version of R-Type. Now, has the original R-Type already come out on iOS, or am I just thinking of legitimately jailbroken devices running it?
The original version of R-Type on iOS came out via EA. and was a bit, but it was like one of the only shmups that you could get at the time.
Okay.
And then they pulled it, and I seem to remember the story being that they lost the license.
Oh, right, okay. Well, it
so
seems that...
it went back to a REM, I think.
Gotcha. Well, it seems that .emu have picked up the license and brought it back to the App Store. You know what R-Type is, surely, at this point. If you don't, then you're probably too young to be listening to this podcast.
And you won't like it.
No, and it'd be horrible because it's all hard and stuff, and you can't buy anything in it. Yeah, it's side-scrolling space shoot-em-up. Apparently, the digital pad on this one feels a bit iffy. Sounds like there are control issues, guys. So be warned. It's £1.49 or $1.99. Check out our review when it goes up, which I think will be soon. Maybe, you know, buyer beware. Pac-Man Dash is out. Now, this was in the works for a while. I seem to remember hearing about this ages ago. But yeah, it's another endless runner, and this time it's got Pac-Man in it. And apparently it's not that bad. It moves really, really fast, and it's all about beating the clock.
Mm. Namco's done really well by its old licenses recently. Like, Pac-Man games have been good, Space Invaders games have been good.
Isn't that because their new licenses are tanking?
Might be.
Oh well. Well, you can get that for free, so IAPs, I expect, beware. This one's getting reviewed on AppSpy this week, and I haven't looked at it yet. Futuridium EP.
Oh, this looks so good.
Yeah, it's again, it's all vector graphics and bright colours. Apparently, it's a well-armed space shooter, and you take control of a little spaceship that has to constantly shoot down enemies in order to replenish your energy cells. Apparently, it's hard and very, very unforgiving, but it is quite fun when you finally get control of the thing.
Sounds like Keith.
Go yeah, on. It does actually. That's what's on his Lonely Hearts column. Strangely silent there, Keith.
Just slowly nodding.
You were running in and adjusting your Lonely Hearts column page. No, it doesn't say that. Shut up. Because I like long walks in the park and handies.
Yeah.
Pull back, ladies and gentlemen. Futuridium is £1.49 or $1.99. The last one I'll talk about, because there is another new release that's actually very good that I'm going to talk about in the next section. Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded has come out. Now, this is, if you're too young, or were too young at the time the game came out to be playing it, it's a point-and-click adventure made by Sierra, and it's basically like a sexy point-and-click thing.
Yeah.
And I use sexy in its broadest possible term.
It's not soft porn adventure written by Thingy Williams. It's more sort of... it's smutty, I guess, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's a bit just like... Four, eh? Eh?
Four. Oh, lads.
Oh. It's a bit like that.
Yeah.
Which I never really went for. But it's been redone. And apparently, according to Mark, it's been redone quite well. It's already been out on PC, and it got quite forgiving reviews.
What brilliant brand cachet Leisure Suit has now. Jesus.
So, yeah, you can get that on your mobile now. It's £2.99 or $4.99. So, go crazy. There's not much out on the 3DS this week. I think so.
No, Nintendo's been late. There's a game coming out for the 3DS, which is something like Sunday Monsters Attack, and that's coming from the Second Guild collection. But that should be fine. There's not really a lot else. Oh, except for Shantae, the Game Boy, the very late Game Boy Color platformer, very technically impressive. Title is coming to Virtual Console for the 3DS, but it's a slow week.
Yeah, a bit of a slow one for that. On the Vita side of things, it's actually pretty good. They've added a couple of games to the PS Plus package. So if you are one of those subscribers who gets the free games for your PlayStation and for your Vita, you can now get Lego The Lord of the Rings, the video game. God, what an awful title. But you can get that Lord of the Rings video game port for nothing if you are a subscriber. We thought it was all right. It wasn't the perfect port, though. It wasn't quite as good as some of the other versions.
No.
Control issues. But you can get it for freeze. And you can also get When Vikings Attack! Which, have you played this?
No, Vaughn absolutely loved it.
Yeah, yeah, he went crazy for it. Apparently, it's people getting together to fight against Norsemen by throwing telephone boxes at them.
Yeah, it's a bit. It's a little bit power. Is it called Power Spike? Power Stone? It's a little bit Power Stone and a little bit Pikmin and a little bit Scrappy.
Okay.
Is it based on a true story?
Yes, it is, Keith. Yep.
About throwing phone boxes and Vikings.
Why they won't let me into Norway anymore.
Oh, really? But we really liked it and said it was great. So there's two games you can get absolutely Compass Mentis if you are already a subscriber. So that's what's out and about this week. But hark, I hear the chamber door creaking open. I think it's that time where we all
come sit upon my throne of games.
Welcome, one and all, welcome to my chamber. Wherein lies the throne of games. Who is first to sit upon the throne this week? Peter.
Yes.
Park thyself upon the throne of games and tell us what you've been playing.
So I've been playing Bastion this week on my iPhone. You can also buy it on your iPad and also some other devices that we don't talk about. Like PCs. And it's a Diablo-esque dungeon runner, I suppose. You cavort across landscapes, firing your gun at things or slashing things up with swords. And it's viewed from a sort of top-down, I don't think it's quite isometric perspective, but it's kind of a hack-and-slash RPG light, I suppose. Mm. It's by Supergiant Games, and I think you guys will probably, if you haven't played it, you'll remember it most for the amount of talk that it got about its soundtrack, which I do think is probably the best element of it. It's got this narrator, I don't know if you've heard him, and isn't he good?
He's very good, and they're including him in the next game as well, Transistor, which I'm hella psyched for. The trailer they released for that is awesome.
Now that's the reason that I was playing it, actually.
Because I
kind of feel like it's an important game to have played, and I want to see whether or not Supergiant actually move on and do something new.
Mm.
Because the way that it's being presented at the moment, it looks kind of similar.
It does.
But anyway, so the premise is really simple. There's a catastrophic event and the world is completely fractured. And as you run over different parts of the world, it reforms. Only certain parts of the world will reform when you walk over it. So you have to watch out for sort of falling off of the entire world, I suppose. But most of it is kind of hacking and slashing. And for me, shooting, because I found that was the easiest thing to do. The enemies are really varied. There's a lot of ghostly and like warped animal life, but it's all presented in a beautiful painterly style, and really it is the story and the specifically the narration of the narrative that keeps you going. There's this main character called Rux, and he's like a white-haired gentleman. He's got this very low, almost like a southern kind of drawl, like a bayou kind of, and It just keeps you going. And then that soundtrack is absolutely gorgeous. I've downloaded the soundtrack now because I got it for PC and I got it in like a bundle.
Yeah, Humble Bundle. They gave me the soundtrack as well.
So I've got two versions now, and I've got the soundtrack from that, and it's just gorgeous. Like it's described as like trip hop country, I think it is, or. It's so worth seeing, and if you do have an iPhone 4, I think it'll run on. I was running on a 4S or an iPad.
I found it was slightly more playable on an iPad.
Yeah, I'll bet it was.
It suits the big screen.
I shot stuff because that was the easiest way of getting through things, and I did find switching between weapons could be a little bit fiddly. But yeah, it's really, really strong, and it definitely deserves the sort of critical acclaim that it's got. I don't think that the Supergiant can do exactly what they did with this a second time, though. I want something a bit more complex in terms of its mechanical offering.
Like, yeah.
I don't just want Diablo again.
I know what you mean. It looks like from what I've seen from the trailer, they're doing some move where you can like advance ahead in time or jump. Like,
oh, that sounds cool.
It reminds me a bit like, you know, Dishonored. They have that like jump where you can sort of blinking. Warp through the air, blinking. That's right. Yeah. It looks something a little bit like that, but in a top-down isometric sort of way.
Okay.
But the world is all kind of looks pretty steampunky, and again, awesome soundtrack and all that. But yeah. it's that universe I quite like the look of. So I'm a sucker for all that neon stuff.
It's really great. I really love the universe, and I thoroughly recommend people go and grab it.
Right on.
I'm gonna get off this chair now. There's a sword sticking in me.
A sword?
Yeah.
It's a throne of games, Peter.
Yeah, no, but it's
I don't know what possible reference you could be making.
It's a broken sword.
Oh, very good. Bravo, sir. Now get off, you smart ass. Right, I'm going to jump on that there throne of games and talk about Cine Mora. It is a bullet hell shmup of the most gorgeous variety.
Who made this?
I don't know. That's because I'm a games journalist and we do lots of research.
It's Grasshopper,
there you go. I have it in my notes somewhere. I just didn't have it handy. All right. It is a port of a game that was released, I think, maybe like 2010, 2011. It is a shmup, but not a vertically scrolling one, one of them side-scrolling affairs, and you are flying through various different environments, taking control of actually various different characters as well. The style is almost like a mixture of like a war situation. So the planes that you're flying almost have that World War One, World War Two look to them. So they're like biplanes and things, but it's obviously futuristic and you're flying through alien landscapes and defeating mechanical stuff. So it's a little bit steampunky. It's a little bit sort of future retro. There's a very complicated plot going along with it that is delivered to you via these big text scrolls that are pretty impenetrable and entirely meaningless, frankly. It's just like a black screen in between the game where they just dump it on you and you're like, oh, this doesn't really matter, does it? But when the game kicks in and you're swooping around these landscapes, it's quite an impressive thing to behold, and it's really good. It got reviewed pretty favorably when it was on XBLA, and visually and mechanically it translates brilliantly. It looks utterly beautiful. The game is really clever. It's an inventive way of using the bullet hell sort of genre. So instead of being stuck on one plane all the time, the camera will kind of keep swooping around, and you'll do kind of loop the loops, or you'll zoom around particular objects or items and then carry on again. So sometimes it will reverse direction and go the other way.
So is this more like a cave bullet hell shmup, or is this more like an R-type, you need to figure stuff out, you need to figure out the best way through a level?
It's a bit more R-typey, but the bullet spreads are very bullet hell. So it's got that ridiculous web of bullets that comes flying out at you. But it is more side-scrolly, and it's sort of, I suppose you'd say, slower paced, maybe?
So a bit sort of R-type Gradius.
Yeah, more like that. The bosses are fantastic. They've got this procession of bosses, sometimes mid-level ones as well as end-of-level ones, and they're really inventive. So you've got one like a kind of a flying airship. You've got one that is this huge machine like a drilling device that also has a huge buzzsaw arm, and each boss you kind of will defeat it in about three or four different sections. So you take out the lower section, then it flies around and you move to the upper section, and it's a whole bunch of different things you have to overcome, and there's a swinging ball that comes down and gets you and you have to dodge that. And so there are kind of multi-layered strands to defeating every boss, which is fantastic. You end up with one that's this giant spider bastard thing who is awesome. They're really inventive, like beautifully animated looking things, and I've been just bowled over all the way through by how good it looks, especially on, you know, the iPad I've been playing it. The caveat is the control system, which I assume works very, very well on Xbox when you have a thumbstick. Here, it's not ideal. Now, it's by no means crippling. You can still play, and I've been playing it all the way through, and I've completed it, and it's been fine. But I always get that feeling when I'm playing it that, like, I kind of wish I had a physical controller for this. And that's always a bit of a downside for me when playing mobile games. And that's why I included things like Cut the Rope and stuff in my top five, because when I'm playing Cut the Rope, I'm like, this would be rubbish with a controller. This is perfect for touchscreen, and this is, you know, beautifully tailored to the device. Whereas this does feel like it was made for a joystick. which it was. Now, you can still play it. So you've got a little thumbstick, virtual thumbstick in the corner of the screen. It moves a little bit more slowly, and it doesn't feel as responsive. It feels a bit more gluey. What I found best way to play is actually to kind of plant your thumb right in the middle of it, and then like rock it around, rather than like sliding your thumb over the screen. Yeah. I found it better to sort of hold it and rock. That's sort of the best way of getting precision movement out of it. But like I say, it's not ideal. It doesn't kill your enjoyment of the game. It's still like too much. It is still very playable. And I'm hoping that at some point they will include the update which allows you to control it more like those cave shooters, where you can just put your finger anywhere on screen and drag it around, and it's kind of more of a one-to-one movement with what you're doing with your fingers, which I feel would be better. It might make it a bit easier, I don't know. But that's what I feel would be more suitable for the iPad and iPhone. So it's kind of more of an 8 out of 10 or 7.5 out of 10. It would like definitely be a 9 were it not for the controls. But I wouldn't necessarily let it put you off. Check out, I'm putting up a video review for AppSpy. Have a look at it, because it looks fantastic. And it is, like I say, it's not a game crippling fault. It's just I kind of wish it would be a little bit better.
You know where the game doesn't have that fault?
On Xbox Live?
On the Vita.
On the Vita. It's on the Vita.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Was it good? Was it a decent port?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. Oh, it's crappy.
I remember the review for it now, and they said basically everything you were saying, minus the control bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, it's clearly a brilliant game. It really is. I just hope they could tighten up the controls a little bit. But if you're a Bullet Hell fan, it's still definitely worth a punt. I've been playing it like pretty much constantly since yesterday, and really enjoying it. Not just playing it to capture it. So
I'll have to get that.
Cinemora, I think it's about £3. I think something like that, £3, £4. It's not that cheap. But these bullet hell shooters always are expensive, aren't they? Cave's bullet hell shooters are expensive too.
Oh, ridiculous. Cave, if you're listening, heavens above.
Yeah, sort it out.
Heavens to Betsy.
You and Square Enix, sort it out, mate.
Just send me the codes. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Keep the prices high. Just give me the codes.
I'm going to hop off now, and we're just left with Keith. Keith. Do sit upon the
throne. Always get your sloppy seconds or thirds.
That's because you always write and request it beforehand.
I've kind of on and off been playing Badland.
Oh, really?
This week.
It's not very good, is it?
it's one of those. It reminds me, I am having the same debate in my mind as I had with Ridiculous Fishing, in that all the elements are there. But there just doesn't feel like there's a game there. I can't imagine that many people haven't. I mean, I'm quite late to the thing here. It's a side-scrolling, I suppose it's a side-scrolling platformer, 2D, and you're controlling this black bubbly thing with two arms that acts as wings. That doesn't really matter. Essentially, you're touching the screen to make him fly up, and the levels scroll past, and the idea is to get him to the end of the level without him getting stuck, because if the screen catches up with you, well, you're not dead, actually. It just makes you start from where you are, so it's kind of pointless. It's gorgeous. It's essentially kind of a black silhouette on top of some very detailed backgrounds, but it works. It looks stunning.
It's a beautiful game, yeah.
And it's kind of very eerie, and just this black thing with two army wing things.
That's quite cute.
Yeah, he is. He is cute. Various things you can pick up along the way, make him bigger or multiply him or speed the level up or slow it down. And the design of levels, as you're progressing, it does get more inventive. They're all very short, which is kind of perfect for mobile, I guess. But they do start to get, you're dodging and weaving and what, But in the same way that I felt Ridiculous Fishing was almost testing your control of the device, this feels the same. It feels, again, a bit like a tech demo, in that it's testing your reactions and your perception of, how high you need to be, how low you need to be. I mean, and it's not original by that. The endless runners essentially do that a lot quicker. But it just doesn't feel big enough. There doesn't feel enough there. You're playing it and you think, I really want to like this because there's clearly some talent behind it. But there just doesn't feel like there's a game there.
I had two issues with it, which was that I didn't feel motivated to continue for whatever reason.
No.
It is a genuinely gorgeous game, and I was really, really looking forward to it. And I played like the first couple of levels at a preview thing, and I was like, oh, this could be really good. This is going to be fun. But it never really went anywhere for me.
No.
And so there was no real drive to continue. And I agreed to some degree with what Harry said in his review, which was there's a slight disconnect between what you're doing and what's going on screen. With the bouncing around, you know, you can make him go up and down. It's like tiny wings in that regard, push and hold, and he'll fly up. But when he starts bouncing off bits of the environment, and the physics are very spongy in it, it almost feels like you're not really in control a lot of the time. And therefore, when you achieve a victory or when you win, it feels like you almost didn't do it.
It's like trying to control chaos, almost. Like, it's I don't know. It's like you do sort of get them through, but you're... It's like shepherding sheep. Like, you know, there's no finesse to it, but you can sort of make them go in whatever direction you kind of want. Did it not make you feel a bit upset? Like, the fact that, like, so many of them keep dying. I deleted it after a while because I didn't want to play it anymore because I didn't want to be responsible for the death of these really sweet little balls of black fluff.
It doesn't make me upset because, in a way, it doesn't punish you enough when you get it wrong. It just literally... I mean, sometimes you get stuck on something... And it doesn't send you back to the beginning of the level, which I would do, considering they're so short. You often start up past the thing that stopped you. So you think, oh, well, what was the... I didn't really lose out there, did I? And likewise, you don't feel like you've really achieved anything when you succeed. So you don't feel bad when you lose, and you don't feel good when you win. You just kind of feel ambivalent towards the whole thing. Which, for a game that looks the way it does and should be full of character, you know, it doesn't really have any... And it's a shame because I only got it because it was part of it was one of the free games in the App Store's anniversary thing. I can't remember how much it is usually.
It's a couple of quid, I think.
I don't think I'd be too comfortable with paying for it. It won awards.
Everybody loved it. Like all the rest of the gaming press loved it. Mobile press. We kind of went.
Really get it.
We have a bit of a reputation of being a little bit harder, don't we? I think that's fair to say. And it's very nice looking.
It's gorgeous. And it's easy to get caught up in it. And when I first saw it, I think I was caught up in it. I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be amazing. And when I sat down and actually played it, I was like, oh.
But it's like Rainbow Drops. You know, like, they're very tasty, but there's no substance to it. And ultimately, ultimately what you're paying for is substance.
Well, what I think is I reckon they've got a good game in their canon, if you see what I mean. The team's called Frogmind, and it's made up of a couple of people out of Redlink Studio, what done Trials and that. So, and they're clearly very talented, and like you say, you look at the visuals and everything, there's clearly a lot of skill and impressive workmanship there. So I reckon in two games' time or something, they'll knock out something really, really good. But
it's just the kind of thing. It's the kind of thing they could have taken to someone as it was in development, and they could have said that there's not really enough there because it could be turned into something good, but it just doesn't quite have enough behind the idea, really.
Still did pretty well, though. I think it sold a bunch.
Yeah, it did. That's just Ridiculous Fishing, so no one cares what I think.
I still need to do Ridiculous Fishing. I only dabbled with it very briefly. I should actually sit down and do it. Seeing as it was the top game of the past 5 years, according to Pocket...
Mind you, it's getting a plot now, isn't it? So maybe they did listen to me. Maybe they're trying to bulk it up.
The entire developmental world turns on a dice at your command.
Shenmue 3 will get made.
Exactly, just through your sheer will alone. Okay, well, you can get off the throne now because I need to clean it because, you know.
We've all been having a handy.
Been a couple of weeks now and a couple of handies and needs to be taken care of. So I shall call the maid. Wench, clean the throne. Handy, you disgust me. All right, that's it for this week. Join us again next week. We'll be doing more iOS, Vita, 3DS, Android-related chatter. And thanks for listening, you guys. Take it easy. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Where's my hand?